Welcome to Radio Oldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. This is a recording from the monthly Oldie Literary Lunch at the National Liberal Club. To book a ticket, please go to www.theoldie.co.uk/lunches.
Our last speaker made the greatest archaeological discovery of the century, or you might say, I think, greatest archaeological discovery of all time. Philippa Langley, you all have seen it, discovered the body of Richard III in 2012, much against the opinion of the archaeological establishment. And she wrote a wonderful book about it, The King's Grave, The Search for Richard III. But she isn't resting on her laurels. Her new book is The Princes in the Tower, Solving History's Greatest Cold Case. Ladies and gentlemen, Philippa Langley.
Can I say the most enormous thank you to the Oldie and to the Liberal Club? It is the most enormous honour to be invited here today to speak to you. So thank you so much. Because I know the research that I undertake is a little bit niche, to say the least. So thank you so much. So the book, the work that I've written, is an investigation into one of history's greatest mysteries. What happened to the princes in the Tower, the sons of King Edward IV of England, when they disappeared from the Tower of London in the summer of 1483? Edward, the elder prince, was aged 12, and his brother Richard, Duke of York, was aged 9. So the book that I've written reveals the results of the Missing Princes Project. So what this is, it's a 10-year forensic police cold case investigation into this mystery. And it began in about 2015, 2016, and it involves over 300 people, specialists and researchers around the world who have been looking into archives to search for materials and evidence in terms of what might have happened to these two boys. The newest version of the book is actually just out now, and it's now, the title has been updated. It's now called The Princes in the Tower: How History's Greatest Cold Case Was Solved. So there's a big clue in the title there. And I'll come on to that in a moment. But I think what I would like to do is talk a little bit about, I don't know if any of you saw, there was a documentary on television in November 2023, which we did with the historian and barrister called Rob Rinder. And we went on a journey. I went on a journey with Rob around Europe, looking into archives to find evidence. Now, at the end of this programme, I said that all of the evidences that we'd found about the princes in the Tower had changed the conversation. But what I actually went on to say, which was edited out of the programme, was that this mystery had been solved. So why could I say that? I could actually say that because I published a book at the same time that the documentary was aired. And any of you in this room that may know anything about television and production and all of that, we needed a full 2 hours on screen, including advertising time, in order to tell the story properly. 1 hour for the elder prince, 1 hour for the younger prince. But then what happened was that Channel 4, in their wisdom, cut our time so badly that we could only tell the story in very small chunks. That didn't help the situation, because then online, when the documentary was aired, a lot of people said, well, you know, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't all add up. So hence why the book has now been published again with more discoveries. So what I thought I would do for you today is I'm just going to give you a very brief run through of how the Missing Princes came about, the Missing Princes Project came about, why the police cold case methodology is so important, and then I'm going to touch on a little bit about what we found. Okay, so why did it come about? Now, as Harry very kindly said, I was involved in the search for Richard III in the car park, and this was through my original Looking for Richard project. But the reason that it took me such a long time to get the search for Richard underway, and even at the dig to convince archaeologists that we might actually discover Richard III, is there was two stories about Richard, later stories, which were exhumation stories. One said that his stone coffin had become a horse trough. The other said that his bones had been thrown into the River Soar. Now, these stories, even though they were 17th and 18th century stories, were in all of the history books and were believed by the historians. And you can see this in the books printed before 2012. But they were based on no evidential basis whatsoever. They'd just been repeated and repeated and repeated over time until they'd become truth and fact. So when I was in the car park trying to look for Richard III, everybody was saying, does this stupid woman not know that there's no chance of finding Richard because he's in the river? So what this taught me is you have to look at evidence and you have to be forensic in how you look at history. And this is why I brought in the methodology of a police cold case missing persons investigation into this area. Because by then I had brought in police and investigative specialists, barristers, judges, and magistrate. I even had a spook or two in the project. And they all said the same thing. If you follow this methodology, you can't go wrong. So what is the methodology? Firstly, we have to go back to the time that the princes disappeared. So this is 1483 in London. You also have to go back to the place where they disappeared. So again, this is London and it's England. So it has to be local. You also have to completely remove hindsight. Now, this is what historians tend to use a lot of, because they will see what happens in the future and then put what they can see in the future into the present that they're talking about. With the police, we can't do this. The police also said you have to use administrative records, because these are not written for public consumption, so they have no reason to lie. So you have to basically follow the money and follow the law, because they're written by lawyers and accountants and clerics. So this is what we did. And the first two big lines of investigation we did... How am I doing for time, by the way? Sorry, I can talk for Britain on this subject. Oh, 4 minutes. Okay, right, 4 minutes. You haven't fallen asleep yet. Right.
Keep going.
Right, okay. So the first two lines of investigation that we did took nearly 4 years, in fact, just over 4 years. The first line of investigation was we had to look at all of the records for the reign of Richard III, because this is when the princes disappeared. So by putting the forensic microscope onto these records, we'd be able to go back in time and run it almost second by second, minute by minute, hour by hour, to see what was happening at that time. The interesting thing that we found when we looked at all of the records, the administrative records, we could find no mention of any bodies, any burials, any requiem masses for their souls, or any pious prayers or observances for the boys in the records. In fact, when the boys were mentioned, they were always mentioned in the present tense. So this defied expectations of death. So we then looked at the Battle of Bosworth, because this is when Richard III and Henry Tudor, who became Henry VII, their worlds collided head on. Because Henry VII, was Richard III's mortal enemy. So by forensically looking at this period of investigation would throw a really sharp light on what was going on. And what we discovered short form was that the entry point of the murder story into England arrived with Henry Tudor and his French foreign invasion force about a week before the Battle of Bosworth. And we can date it to the 14th of August, 1485. So because of these two lines of investigation, we then had to expand the investigation and to take the possibility that the boys survived seriously. So we now had 111 lines of investigation running concurrently. And long story short, we found proof of life materials in archives on the continent and in Ireland for the survival of both boys into the reign of Henry VII. And they both went on to claim the throne against Henry VII. And you will probably now know the elder boy by the name Lambert Simnel. This was actually the eldest son of Edward IV of England, Edward V. You will probably know the youngest son of Edward IV, who was Richard, Duke of York. You will possibly know the name Perkin Warbeck. These were the names given to both Yorkist claimants by Henry VII and his government, and we still believe it today. But this book blows that out of the water, because in this world of fake news and alternative facts, I very much believe that if we search for the truth in history, then we don't have to use false facts and alternative facts in the modern day. How am I doing for time now?
1 minute.
I've got one more minute. All right. So where are we going next with this? I've finished with this. I said it would give it 10 years, and the book that is now out is the 10 years, and you will read all of the proof of life that we've found of these two young men. It is quite remarkable. But I am continuing the project because we still have the most incredible lines of investigation underway with some of our researchers. So papers are going to be published, articles are going to be published by these researchers, and I think some of them are even going to publish their own books, because some of these lines of investigation that they're looking into are remarkable. So what this project has done, it has changed history. Are the history teachers out there, are there the people who are saying Richard III murdered the princes in the Tower, Wikipedia pages, are they going to change overnight? Probably not. But this is why I come and speak to you guys, because if we start getting the message out, and if you read the book is written like a cold case investigation, because the police explained exactly the methodology to use. So it's not a boring history book. This is the one book plug I will give you. It is actually a murder mystery written like a police investigation. But it presents all of the evidences we've found. Is that now a minute? Yes. So I am done. Thank you.
You have been listening to Radio Oldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. Why not get 3 trial issues of the Oldie magazine for just £1? Sure you'll enjoy it. We'll then charge you £25.75 for every 6 issues. Just go to checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial as one word in capitals. That's checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial.